Yeah, praise God. Praise God. My name is Dalton. I have the honor and privilege of serving in the youth and the colleges here at Daystar Family Church. And so I'm very honored to be bringing the word to you guys this morning. I'm super, super excited about it. Before we get started, as usual, this is a house of honor and respect. And so I just want to do the due diligence and just say I am so thankful and blessed to have our bishop, Bishop Pat Schatzlein. He's traveling right now. He is my spiritual dad. He is the founder of Daystar Family Church, and I just honor him. So if you're watching, love you, Bishop. And our pastors, Pastor Scott and Christy, they are with him out of town at a Forward in Faith conference. And Pastor Christy told me to tell you guys that they are getting filled with the Holy Ghost like never before and ready to come and share it all with us. So we're excited for that. So we honor them. And Pastor David is in the house somewhere, probably working. Some of my guys and you students, I honor you. And last but definitely not least, the most prettiest, Miss Jenna, can you stand up? Miss Baloo. Yeah, yeah. This is my wife. We just got married like 2.5 weeks ago. And yeah, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know how I get. I start talking about her and then I'll just preach about her the whole time instead of the message. But yeah, just a quick tip on marriage because I'm so experienced. But something I've learned. Have you ever noticed that as soon as someone has a baby or has a kid, give it about a month and they start giving everybody else advice? Have you ever noticed that? Okay, but I'm gonna join with that hypocrisy. Okay, so anyway, so something I've learned is like young people, single people, all the stuff that people say. Like, wait for the right one, pray for your wife, like, keep yourself. All of it works. All of it's true. So do that. If a mother or father in the Lord tell you something like that, just obey, because it works. How do you know? Love you. Okay, so cool. All right, without further ado, let's get into the word. Everybody ready for the word? Praise the Lord. Okay, do me a favor. And go to Acts chapter 8, verses 14. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verses 14. And we're going to get ready. I'm old school, man. I'm like 26, but I love the Bible, man. I love opening it. I love reading it. It's what we do. Okay, so before we get into this, let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your anointing and your word. God, I thank you for your insight and your revelation. I pray that you would speak to us this morning, Father, that you would open our hearts, that you would illuminate your word, that you would bring fresh revelation that we've never seen and never known. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be so present to heal and present to deliver. Free us this morning, God, of every corrupt mindset that's not like you. And I pray, God, there would be a special anointing this morning to break yokes of bondages and to reveal the revelation of freedom to your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter 8. So we're going to be bouncing around a little bit this morning. Jenna, can you hand me my phone just so I can keep on time? We're going to be bouncing around a little bit this morning. Thank you, babe. And we're going to do something I don't usually do. I usually take a passage and just we go line by line and kind of eat it for all it's worth, right? This morning, I'm going to bring to us a topic that I feel like from prayer, the Holy Spirit has told me to bring to you guys. And so I'm doing that with a lot of trembling in me because it's something I've never preached on before. But I believe it is absolutely imperative for every person in this room to move on and to advance in your relationship with the Lord and relationship with others. That if you don't get this topic down, it will be detrimental to your life. So no pressure, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be bouncing around a lot. And so this is kind of my intro, that in the Bible, we find many contingencies, right? Many contingencies. A lot of the Bible, especially the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament, is the Lord saying to his people, do this, and I'll do that. Do this, and I'll do that. You really don't want that, right? Right? Obedience or a blessing follows obedience. Cursing follows disobedience, right? We have a lot of contingencies. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, right? I will turn and heal their land. So what is the contingency there? If you humble yourself and pray, Those are the contingencies. So the healing of the land doesn't come until we humble ourselves and pray. So there's a lot of teaching that goes out in the church today that I'm not going to call false, but I'm going to call lacking substance. There's a lot of teaching that goes out in the church today that basically just says everything is about you. You're awesome. You're going to be great. God doesn't have suffering in mind for you. God's never going to bring you into a trial to teach you. You're meant to be blessed. Your whole life is meant to be blessed. You're never supposed to lack. You're never supposed to have hardship. And I kind of want to poke a hole in that this morning and say that the Bible is actually filled with, if you don't follow A, B, and C, you will not have D. If you do not follow A, you will not have B. B's for blessing. So there are contingencies. So if you continue to walk in a way that God has not designed for you to walk, what you will walk into is the absence of God in your life. The absence of his voice. Did you know there are many contingencies in the Old Testament for your, or in the New Testament for your New Testament? I say that intentionally. There are many contingencies in the New Testament for your prayers getting answered. Why doesn't God hear me? Why aren't my prayers answers? There's scripture for that. Are you hearing me this morning? This is going to be tough, but I promise it's for your joy. It's something he's teaching me, and it's something I believe he's teaching us, because I would rather have wisdom and know I'm wrong and change and be blessed than lack wisdom and perish. Are y'all with me? Did you know your spiritual life can perish because you lack wisdom? All right, so say, Jesus, give me wisdom, even if in it hurts. Okay, even if in it hurts. All right, here we go. So Acts chapter 8, go there for me. Verse 14, and they're going to throw it on the board. Thank you, media team. Okay, let's go. So verse 14, it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered the apostles money. So let's stop right there. A little bit of context for what we're talking about. So a town has just encountered the presence of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit through Peter and John. Simon is a man that the Bible calls Simon the Sorcerer. How many of you have heard of Simon the Sorcerer before? Cool. So if you haven't, it's fine. But basically what had happened is for years, Simon the Sorcerer was a demonic magician who fooled the people for years into thinking that he was, quote, the great power of God, meaning Messiah. He worked such incredible miracles and fooled the people with his sorcery that some began to worship him as a deity. Are you tracking with me? So this guy gets saved, okay? This guy gets saved through the ministry of Peter and John as they're going around doing genuine miracles, laying hands on people, and they're receiving the Holy Spirit, all right? So let's keep reading. Verse 19, he says, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before the sight of God. So Simon the sorcerer sees miracles and begins to lust after them, even after he's been born again. Even after he repents, he sees the miracles and says, hey, Peter, how much money are you going to charge me to buy that power? Because I really want to lay hands on people and see them fall out in the Holy Ghost. Everybody got quiet on the plane. Everybody gets quiet when you preach about Simon the Sorcerer. Miss Robin, am I wrong? I'm not wrong. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So he offers them, I'll give you money. And Peter says, your money perish with you. You need to repent. Why? Because your heart is not right before the Lord. I thought he had been saved. I thought he had repented and came to believe in the knowledge of Christ, like the Bible says. But Peter says, your heart is not right before the Lord. What we're going to talk about today is one of the crucial issues with the heart. And I haven't got to what that crucial issue is yet, because I'm feeling out the room a little bit, because a lot of us in here deal with this issue. And we need to be free, because it's for our joy. And it's for the furthering of our life, and Jesus is going to do that for us today. So, for your heart is not right before the sight of God, look at verse 22. Repent, therefore. What does therefore mean? Because what I just said is true. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So again, this is an inward issue that is reflecting in the natural. Okay? This is an inward issue, brokenness, symptom of being separate from God, not having revelation, not being healed in a certain area. And then from this place of an inward brokenness in his heart, he's reacting a way that's contrary to God in the natural. Are you with me? We have to be awakened, Daystar Family Church, to the reality that what is going on in the natural is often reflective of what's going on internally. What's going on in the natural is often reflective of what's going on internally and in the supernatural. Barely anything just happens. You do not lash out and punch somebody in the face just because you had one bad day. You do not leave your wife and go sleep with another woman because you fell into sin. As one minister said, how does anybody fall into bed with another woman? Nobody falls into sin. I'll tell you what happens. Sin, according to James, is conceived in the heart and then manifests in the natural. So every time a person sins and falls short of the glory of God, right, falls into sin, it didn't start with, oh, there's sin, and they fall into a situation. It starts way back here when you justify the thought. Are you with me? You justify, and then you justify, and then you justify, and then you justify, and then you're watching pornography again after you've been free for 6 months. Are you with me? You justify watching a show, which justifies staying up too late, which justifies searching Instagram till 2 a.m, which justifies, she's already in a bikini, I should just continue the search. It's quiet on the plane because 7 in 10 men in America deal with pornography. So do the math. It's real, man. Don't worry, somebody else will be preaching next week, okay? So just breathe. We've all fallen short, right? We've all fallen, right? But really the fall was when you didn't take that thought captive earlier in the day. Now I'm not condemning us. I'm just saying we kind of have to change our terminology a little bit. Brother, I'm struggling. Are you struggling or are you falling? People have come up to me before, Brother Dalton, I'm struggling with sleeping around. See, you're not struggling with sleeping around. You're sleeping around. The struggle starts when you start unfollowing girls on Instagram. You start deleting their numbers. That's where the fight starts. That's where the putting on the armor of God starts. It's not when you're in the middle of a sin you're not fighting. You're fighting when you take the thought of the heart captive. Because guess what? Even though you've been saved, the Bible still says out of the heart comes murder, fornication, hatred, envy, adultery. The Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? So here's what I'm trying to say. Your heart needs work, even if you've been saved. And then there are things going on in your heart that gives the enemy legal rights to destroy your life. From the back to the front, from the pastors, leaders, to the staff, to the college students, every person in here, there are issues of your heart if you do not take them captive. Not only do they manifest in the natural, they gave the enemy legal rights, the demonic realm, legal rights to terrorize your life. Okay? Are you with me? So that's our intro, right? Okay. So now we're there. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. And this is where we're going to get specific. And we're going to pray. Here we go. Repent, therefore, in verse 22, of your wickedness and pray if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. Verse 23, Peter says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Remember, this is a Christian. Verse 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. That's the last time we hear from Simon and the sorcerer in the Bible. Notice he did not repent. He again turned to the outward. He turned to a minister and said, pray for me that none of these things happen. He's dealing with this and not with this. Are y'all with me? Today we're going to talk about, it's the title of the message, how bitterness clogs the flow of the supernatural. From the back to the front. I know you think it's all about just having faith and nothing that you do matters. It's just like a muscle. You just got to believe in God as hard as you can. I'm here to tell you the Spirit of the Lord, I feel this strong, is saying to us this morning, bitterness clogs the flow of the supernatural. Why am I not having breakthrough? Why do I go to fits of rage? Why do I find myself manipulating people and controlling my environment and always being sad and depressed? Bitterness clogs the flow of the supernatural. Bitterness clogs the flow of breakthrough. Bitterness. Prove it, Dalton. Have you ever tried to receive from a minister when you've been hurt by one? Have you ever tried to receive from a parent or from a spouse that hurt you? Bitterness clogs the flow of the blessing and of the supernatural, and I'll prove it to you in Scripture. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about this morning, how bitterness clogs the flow of the supernatural. Because I'm here to tell you, God wants to move in a supernatural way that we have not seen here at Daystar Family Church, but some of us will not experience that flow, will not operate in that flow, and will not receive from the flow of the supernatural if we do not come face to face with our bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is defined in a couple ways. It's mainly, please take notes. If you're not taking notes, please take notes. Because this bitterness will affect each and every one of you in your life. It has affected me. It has come at me full force, tried to destroy me, destroy the ministry God gave me. But still here. Glory be to God. Bitterness is mostly defined in Scripture as unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, resentment, and in the Greek, it means bitter or sourness inside. And it's usually attributed to a person, something that a person inflicts in you or on you. Number two is iniquity, inner perversion, wickedness, repetitive sin is the definition of iniquity. So what did Peter tell Simon? I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Listen, if you're in here holding on to bitterness, hatred or resentment even, for a brother and sister of Christ, your parent, your kid, that high school teacher who called you names, your friends, somebody in high school who beat you up, maybe one of your friends. If you are in here and you are today carrying bitterness inside you, you have poison that you need to deal with. And there's a couple things that is really interesting about poison as it pertains to bitterness and why Peter would tell Simon, you're actually poisoned by bitterness. So you're actually soured or defiled by something sour. It's interesting why he would use language that's that strong to describe Simon's current predicament. But what Peter is actually saying is there's poison in you. And what does poison do? Poison is a foreign substance that when it enters your stomach and then your bloodstream causes your vitality and your vital organs to shut down. And then what ends up beginning to happen is your outward motor functions begin to be affected. So people who are poisoned have foamed out the mouth. Some of them, it takes some days to even realize that they have a poisonous substance in their body. If anybody has gotten food poisoning before, right? That food probably tasted mighty good at the time, but then by the time you got home, you were not doing so hot, right? I had a date one time, and I ate Waffle House that morning. I'll stop there. I didn't have Waffle House for about the next 5 years, if you wonder how the date went, okay? So, did not go well. So, poison is a foreign substance, gets into your body, begins to affect your motive functions and your reflective skills. So, here's something that's very interesting about bitterness is what Peter is saying is there is bitterness, licentiousness, and unforgiveness in your heart that is causing you not only to be defiled on the inside, but causing you to react in a way where you want to manipulate your environment on the outside. So what's going on inside is causing you to sin on the outside. So what's so interesting about Simon's current predicament, it's not only is he manipulating people around him, because why did he want the power of the Holy Spirit? To lay hands on people and see them fall out. For attention. He wanted attention. But it was all from that place of somebody somewhere at some time hurt him deeply and wounded him. So then, because Peter says, you have no portion or promise, you have no part in the supernatural that's going on in your city. Why? Because not because you were a sorcerer before you were saved, but because the behavior, watch me, the behavior and the heart pre-Jesus is the same post-Jesus. Because you did not confess and renounce your bitterness of something that happened to you pre-Jesus, you are reacting in the same heart post-Jesus. And so because you're reacting in the same way, you have no part or portion with the supernatural flow that God is doing in this town because of what's going on in you. Because if you get this blessing of God, you'll use it not from a place of purity, but from a place of contamination. It's really interesting. Everybody wants to, excuse me, I'm yelling, but I'm passionate about this. Everybody wants to be used in power. Everybody wants to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Everybody wants to see demons get cast out. But nobody seems to want to acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit that comes off of you and does miracles is the same Holy Spirit that refines your inside. Why don't people get healed when I pray for them? Why am I not seeing breakthrough in my life? Why am I scared when there's demonic interference around me? Possibly because you're expecting to operate in something that is not operating in you. It is a fearful thing to operate in the gift of God, yet not be submissive to his correction and his conviction. Pray that your ministry doesn't get started. Pray that you don't get the job of your dreams. Pray that you don't become a manager if that root of bitterness and unforgiveness is still in your heart towards your mom or dad. Pray, because what you do not deal with in the heart will manifest in the natural. How do you know? Every psychologist that's worth his salt will tell you every single person under the sun in some way is a product of their development. It's so spiritual. Actually, a lot of the needs that you lack that Holy Spirit wants to fill are things that you lacked growing up. Fatherlessness, he's a great dad, right? Some of you, you might have a lying spirit because that's all you knew growing up. Because your mom was a liar and a manipulator. So that's literally the way you learned to survive and gain attention was by manipulating and crying. And if that root is not dealt with, it will continue. But thank God for freedom and deliverance, right? Thank God for freedom and deliverance. Listen, look at me. Hurt people hurt people. Every single person whose desire is to inflict damage or wounds somewhere deep inside is a little kid who got hurt. A friend told me in high school one time, because I tried to be a good kid, you know, I tried not to date around a whole lot and stuff like that, even pre, like, Jesus and stuff, and I remember this guy, his name was Ryan, he was not saved, and he came up to me, and I said, dude, people are just, like, out here dating, and he said, well, you know, that's how you get girls' attention, is you're mean to them, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, the standard, but he looked at me, and he said, Dalton, behind, and I will take out the swear words, is that cool? Okay, because he was not a Christian. But he said, Dalton, behind every womanizing man is a girl who broke his heart. And I'm not saying that's Bible, right? I'm not saying that's Bible, but that blew me away, and I've thought about that a long time, because out of every guy's, like, just no care whatsoever, the emotional turmoil that premarital sex has on these multiple women that this gentleman might be being with, right? There's just no care, no consideration. It's just literally like you use them for what you want, and then you keep going down the road. Who cares, like, what happens to them? But that man, something happened to him to make him that way. There is some root of bitterness that took hold to where his consideration, nobody cared about him, so he's just not going to care about anybody else. Are you with me? This is why most men who lack fathers can very easily become bitter inside. And that generational curse can reproduce. But I'm jumping ahead. So he says bitterness is the issue. We talked about being poisoned by bitterness. I want to talk about some of these things and symptoms. So this is our point number one. We have 4 points. Number one, some symptoms. It's interesting that Simon's old lifestyle had not been dealt with or renounced. So listen, believer, brother, sister in Christ, just because you've gotten saved does not mean that your old habits have died. When you got saved, you were bought by the blood of Jesus. You have been made holy as he is holy, but outward and inner sanctification is a progressive work and an instantaneous work. So you're wondering, why I'm saved, why am I still struggling? Well, it's things in your heart you still have to surrender. And bitterness is a big one, because I want to read some symptoms of bitterness to you. Is this okay? Right? Symptoms. And this is for not checking to see if someone next to us is bitter. Right, Greg? This is checking. Yeah, amen. This is not checking to see if our wife or husband or mom or dad was bitter. This is to turn a light on us and to evaluate if we're bitter. Amen. Symptoms of bitterness. Number one, manipulation and control. Oh, my goodness. It's like men think to ourselves, why do I lash out? Like my kid's report card isn't very good, or somebody cuts me off in traffic, God forbid. And I just lash out, and I'm angry for the rest of the day. Bitterness. You're bitter. And I'm not to drive by guilt in you. I'm just saying that behavior is from a root. The Bible says he who is called according to his name, he keeps him in perfect peace. So if you're not operating in perfect peace, something's wrong. Something's out of place. Why do I just, like, I feel like I could just beat somebody sometimes? Bitterness. You're hurt somewhere. God wants to reveal that root to you. And I'm telling you, men and women become master manipulators. When you're out of control, when the date doesn't go like you thought it would, when somebody's 30 minutes behind, you get all upset, you get all angry, you get flustered, you feel your heart rate beginning to rise, even though you've been late 17 times before. Why is that? Why in that moment are you blinded? Are you blinded to the fact you are a human too? Why in that moment? Because the Bible says in the book of 1 John, he says that if you have a man who hates his brother, is blind until now and does not know where he is going. When you have hatred in your heart, bitterness against somebody, you are the person affected. You are the person in turmoil. I got an illustration because Lord knows I rant, okay? We're doing okay on time. Brother Jeff, will you stand up real quick? Okay. Let's say Brother Jeff really just ticked me off, okay? Right? Let's just say you ticked me off. Now I have feelings that I might want to fight you or something. But in no world do I win that, okay? Right? Okay, so I want to ask you something real quick, okay? Might have to unbutton this guy, right? You ready? Just stand there. Don't even move. Let me ask you something. Do you feel this? Okay, that was me throwing a punch, not a baseball, okay? Let's try it one more time. Ready? A little boxing for you. 1, 2. Do you feel that? All right, I'm going to give you a big one. You ready? You feel that? Even a gust of wind. Nothing. Thank you. Please sit down. This is you operating in bitterness. The person you're bitter at, the person you have unforgiveness for, stands and is completely oblivious, hold on, just give me a second, of the fact that you're hurt. They are completely oblivious to the fact that you're in pain, you're hurt, you're bitter, you have things against them, and as many, look at me, as many arguments as you have in your mind about what you would say if you were ever in that situation against, just like my punches did nothing to Jeff, even though he hurt me, the only thing my thoughts, my licentious behavior, that yuck inside me did was wound me more, tire me out more, waste my time of this sermon more, and leave me more defeated than when he hurt me. Y'all, you will be free. Look at me. You will be free You will be free when you realize the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all your hurt and all your trauma, all your pain. You will be free. Look at me. You will be free when you realize forgiveness ain't got nothing to do with the person who hurts you. Look at me. Some of you got this mastered, but I'm talking to people who are very quiet right now. Because some of you, as I'm talking, you're thinking about the person you're hurting about. You're thinking about the person you're bitter towards. Good. Good. This message is for you. This message is not for people who are perfect and have it figured out. I'm talking to those that bitterness has crippled you to the point you got nightmares about the person who wronged you, molested you, hurt you, caused your parents to divorce. It gets quiet on the plane when you talk about forgiveness being involved with physical trauma. That time your mom smacked you in the face. That time your dad picked you up by your hair. That time your brother punched you in the stomach. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm not talking about Pastor David corrected me in a way I didn't like. You know? You like that? That was my religious voice. This is for you. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm talking about bitterness that if you don't deal with affects your destiny. And guess what? It's got nothing to do with that church member or elder or the man who violated you. It's got nothing to do with them. Because the only thing that your bitterness does, dwelling in here, is in poison and intoxicate and defile you. Has nothing to do with, well, what I need to do is I need to sit down with this person. And I need to talk to them and say, okay, explain to me why you did this. Explain to me how this happened. And then I just need to tell them how I feel. Like when you said this about my family, I felt this way. Well, when you did this to me, I was just a kid. I didn't know any better. You didn't have to hit me that hard. You didn't have to beat me in front of my friends. You didn't have bitterness. What you're after is not being right with God. What you're after is revenge. Because this is the lie that Satan and demons, yes, I said the D word, demons want to tell you to rob you of your destiny, rob you of your relationships, because guess what? The powers of darkness, guess what they have to do? To ruin your destiny at that job that was destined for you to have? Brother, sister in Christ, all they got to do is make a man say something that triggers you. And if you're bitter, you show it. You show it. So what you're after, I just need to sit with them. I just need to talk to them. I just need to call them. If forgiveness is a two-way road, you and somebody else, what about people who die, who wrong you? How do you get closure? Oh, this girl broke up with me. It hurt my heart. This guy broke up with me. It hurt my heart. I just need to sit down. I need to have some closure. What you want is revenge. Because you think if I look them in the eye and I explain to them A, B, C, D, all the way to Z, of how they hurt me, I can put the situation together, then they'll feel remorse, they'll feel bad for me, and they'll feel how I feel. That is not forgiveness. That is manipulation. Because forgiveness has everything to do with two people, and it ain't the person who hurts you. It's you and Holy Spirit. Show me in the Bible where it says forgiveness has anything to do with them. And you're like, well, duh, if you have an issue with your brother, take it to him, right? I'm not talking about reconciliation. I'm not talking about preserving relationships. Because chances are, if someone violated you when you were a kid, you ain't interested in preserving a relationship. Am I right or am I wrong? Right? You don't want to be friends with your boss. You get that thing too familiar. If I become best friends with Pastor David, as soon as Pastor David says something like, well, let's be real, says something like, hey, I saw the way you treated your wife at dinner, maybe tweak that. If you're my best friend, I'm going to be like, whoa, he's my pastor. He's not my friend. The goal is not always reconciliation for you to just be buddy-buddy and go skipping into the sunset. The goal is purity of your heart. And you don't get that through sitting down and telling somebody how much they hurt and offended you. You get that through prayer. So let's talk about some of the symptoms. That's just manipulation. And I got to blitz through these. Some of you, you've never heard this before because people are scared to tell you, even though you've been hurt, you're still wrong. Listen, you read the Bible. you don't find you're awesome and life is easy. You find that you will be working. Jesus said, my Father in heaven has been working till now, and I have been working. He never quits. He never stops interceding on your behalf, right? What's that verse in first, or maybe it's Philippians? He who began a good work in me shall be faithful and just to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Bitterness is one of those things he's trying to complete in you, take away. Another symptom of bitterness. I'm moving this to number two because I feel like I need to. Prayerlessness. Look at me, brother and sister. I know I might sound like Bishop right now, but that is the best compliment I think ever, right? If you don't pray, you are in sin. And I'm not talking about on Sunday, and I'm not talking about on your drive to work. I am talking about if you do not spend 15 minutes with Jesus a day, something with Jesus, you're backsliding. Because look at me. All of these issues in the heart, all of them are fixed in prayer. And if you do not have his ear and he doesn't have yours, you just go through life bitter, you go through life hurting people, and you can't hear the voice of Holy Spirit correcting you on forgive dad, forgive your boss, forgive that man who violated you, forgive that woman who beat you, forgive them. But yet, when a job opportunity comes, when we're supposed to get married, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. He will, but he'd rather speak to you about this. Amen. Bishop says in his book, Reviving Spiritual Hunger, one of his quotes, one of my favorite quotes, people are always asking God, what is your will? Because they're not close enough to him to know what he wants. And you're like, Dalton, I'm really dealing with unforgiveness right now, and you're beating me over the head. No, what we have to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, because this is how the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't just say, you're good, I love you, you're good, I love you. If ministers are always telling you, you're good, you love, like, what about when I don't feel loved? What about when I don't feel loved? Like, I don't feel as a Holy Spirit's trying to get somewhere to where there's wounds in you, trying to get you to lay those things down so he can fill those places with more of his glory. Because this is where the enemy plagues our minds. Young people, you think I'm lying? I know. This is where the enemy plagues your mind in places that are not surrendered. The enemy, look at me, the enemy has no power over you subconsciously that you don't abdicate to him. Prove it, Dalton. Pilate, when he stands before Jesus, he's silent, he's beaten, you know, he's just been whipped and everything. Pilate's talking to him and like, tell me who you are. Are you the Son of God? Are these people lying about you? Finally, Pilate gets upset. This is in John, I think it's chapter 18. Finally, Pilate gets upset and he looks at Jesus and he says, don't you know I have the power to say whether you live or die? And Jesus like opens that swollen eye and he looks at him. He said, you could have no power over me unless it was given to you by my Father. If the enemy has power over this, it's because we've given it to him. How was the enemy, and your sin, by the way, but how was the enemy able to crucify Jesus? He's the Son of God. The Father said, it has to be so. Are you with me? You're like, oh, I'm going to be fine. Life's going to be awesome. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the rulers of the air of this planet. You know, Satan says in Luke to Jesus, he says, bow before me and I'll give you everything that you see. He says, I'll give you all the nations of the earth. He says, for these are mine and they've been delivered to me and I give them to whoever I wish. So what did Jesus do? He quotes the word. It is written. You don't tempt the Lord your God. Who do you think you are? You don't tempt me. All the power you got, I gave it to you. Here's the beauty of Jesus, man. God abdicates that authority to Satan and says, while you're over here freaking trying to ruin the planet, guess what I'm doing? I'm cooking up this plan called the cross, man, by which any man who believeth in me might be saved. While you're over here, Satan, thinking you're dominating like the radio waves, oh my gosh. Like, all this craziness is going on TV. The world's just getting so much darker. If you were spiritually minded, you'd see over here what God's cooking up. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. But you notice how Jesus responds. He responds with the word, right? So if there's something going on in your heart that doesn't match up with him, what do? We fight with the word, right? Okay, I'm getting off topic. Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay, some more, and then I'm going past, okay? Here we go. Hatred, a symptom. Gossip, resentment, divisiveness, defensiveness, isolation. Rebellion is a big one. Someone who is bitter oftentimes can't take correction from anybody. They just can't. Why? Because they were wounded once, so they think everybody who takes a place of authority in their life is going to wound them. People who manipulate are terrified of being manipulated because they didn't turn into a manipulator without somebody manipulating them. So they're terrified of being out of control. They're terrified. And it's okay. It's okay. It just means there's a root of bitterness there that Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you to fix. And so you can live free. Like sickness, there are symptoms. Okay? Bitterness can absolutely affect your destiny. Write this down. Bitterness can and will affect your destiny. It is not a joke. It absolutely will. Like I said, you could interview with a boss and he say one thing that triggers you, and if it's something that the enemy knows will get to you, he will have somebody somewhere say it, and you could blow your testimony in 2 seconds to somebody you were called to witness to and to bring to the kingdom. But because they remind you of somebody who hurt you or any other scenario that involves bitterness, you can really be affected, your destiny. Simon had the opportunity to receive firsthand from the apostles baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would want a dose of that if I could, okay? And he squandered it because he was unwilling to repent. Saul, right? Saul, King David, lost the kingdom of God because he did the sacrifice without Samuel being present. And when God tells Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16 to go and anoint David as king, Samuel tells God, it's the first time you see Samuel kind of push back with God a little bit, he says, I can't do this or Saul will kill me. You're talking about the guy who anointed, or the guy who anointed Saul would kill him? Yeah, because of bitterness, because of unforgiveness. This is why a main symptom of bitterness is hatred. When you find yourself hating somebody, look at me. Look at me real quick. I love you, and I care about you, and I bet we would be friends if you got to know me. But if you hate someone, and you're in here, if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, as hurt as you might be, as nasty as that person might be, if that is you, if you have hate and bitterness in your heart, you are not right with God. You are not right with God. And I'm pleading with you, you must get that under the blood today, because it's not under the blood because you're saved. Jesus does not understand just because you're hurt. Simon the sorcerer was saved, and that bitterness caused him to manipulate. And it was actually more, look at me, it was more dangerous for the kingdom of God for Simon to get the anointing in bitterness than for him to be without the anointing and just be left to his own to repent. Did you know if you have a bitter and unright heart before the Lord, it is more dangerous for you to walk into your destiny? We wonder why we run in circles so much. Maybe it's because the Lord is waiting for us to get healed, to turn our eye in here and to say, Lord, what do I need to fix? What do I need to change? It's tough, but I'm telling you, man, if you'll receive what I'm saying, it'll be life to you. Go to Hebrews 12, verse 14 for me. Are y'all okay? Okay. Hebrews 12, verse 14 for me. Thank you, Lord. I think it's on the screen. Thank you, Lord. Let's just go there. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. So we know a couple things from just reading this verse. bitterness is detrimental to the assembly of God. It's detrimental to a people assembling together under the name of Christ. Bitterness, a root of bitterness, can kill what God is trying to do in a group of people. So when I'm talking about bitterness, Daystar, I'm talking about corporately, not just individually. But know that the state of your heart does affect what goes on in here. The state of your heart, worship leaders, I know Director Chris has told you this nonstop, does affect what goes on up here. I know we love to think that, oh, like God is sovereign and he's in control of everything. What you do matters. What happens in here matters to your destiny. Whether or not you get there is dependent on you. Well, that's a root of bitterness. So here's one thing. Bitterness is a root, and it grows. So when you have really just, like, here's, if you're brought to emotion when you're telling a story of someone who hurt you, check yourself for bitterness. I had a friend in work one time, and I'm talking to him, and I used to serve in restaurants and stuff like that. I'm sitting there, and, you know, he starts telling me this story of somebody that he had talked to a couple years ago, and he starts getting angry. Like, face goes red, starts raising his voice, and I'm like, hey, bud, like, we're at work. Have you ever talked to somebody like that? Like, they're talking to you about a story, and all of a sudden, they just start inching closer to your face. Like, I'm sitting there, and he wasn't a believer, so I couldn't say anything about it, because it's like, oh, you're bitter. That won't go well for you, okay? So I'm thinking about it and considering, and the Lord was like, you just saw bitterness. You saw it. If you find yourself welling up with emotion because of someone that hurt you, when you tell the story, you're not over it. How do I know if I've fully forgiven? One, just in case, because for sake of time. Number one, how do you know if you've forgiven? So number one, forgiveness is a choice, not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice, just like repentance is a choice and not a feeling. It's you saying, Lord, I repent, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Just like what some of you are feeling now, you're like, man, I don't know if I could forgive my dad. You're being, like, that's conviction on you. And like saying, okay, dad, I forgive you, even though you don't feel like, oh, it's not love. Look at me. Forgiveness is not the feeling of just love and, oh, it's great. It's saying I'm getting this junk under the blood before it affects me. That's what forgiveness is. So number one, forgiveness is a choice. Number two, you really know you have begun to forgive when you stop talking about it. If you got to let every other person know what happened to you, or every other person you counsel with in private, if you got to have six different people to talk to after a breakup, that's bitterness. If it happened years ago, you're still talking about it. I can't believe what we went through as kids. I can't believe all that dad put us through. I can't believe what mom put us through. Every Christmas, every time we get together, all of this stuff gets brought up again. I can't believe it. Oh, you did it to me. You ain't doing it to my kids. Bitterness. Bitterness. Love endures all things, hopes the best of all things, keeps no record of wrongs. So what are you in? Because you're not in love. That's bitterness. And I'm telling you, forgiveness and the will feel so much better than this rock that's growing in you, causing you to lash out. Okay? Let's keep going. So it's a root. I think I had something else in there. Cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So bitterness can defile you from the inside. Verse 16, please. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Holy cow. So Esau and Jacob. So Esau's out in the field, and he's working and everything. He gets himself so fatigued because he probably got lost while he was hunting. He comes in, and him and his brother are like the chosen ones of the clan, right? They're going to do all these great stuff for God. And he comes in, he's like crawling into the tent, and Jacob's sitting there like cooking an omelet or something, right? And so Esau comes in and says, hey, give me some food. Jacob says, sell me your birthright. I'll give you some food. And Esau says, are you serious? And Jacob says, yeah, sell me your inheritance, sell me your destiny, and I'll give you some food. This is the voice of bitterness in your life. You with me? Give me your time. Give me those memories. This is what demons are telling you. Give me those memories. Give me your time. Let me make you sit in your car 30 minutes after work thinking about all the angry stuff you want to say to your boss, and I'll give you some satisfaction. I'll let you win in your mind because nobody else is there to argue with you. You can win. Go ahead. Here's your soup. And it says for his inheritance, he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Some of you, you are selling your destiny because you will not forgive your dad, and you are called to disciple the next generation. But you cannot disciple the same generation in the heart that your dad had. You are called to do something great in this world and in this church, but you can't be trusted by the Holy Spirit if you're going to manipulate people. Look, it's not like, so-and-so and they would do this. I'm telling you, any of you can be punched in the face today and tomorrow try to control everything about your life. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Bitterness clogs the flow of the supernatural. Are you guys okay? We good? Bitterness clogs the flow of the supernatural. Please write this down. It clogs the supernatural in your life, in your marriage, and in your church. It will hinder and destroy your spiritual walk. Matthew 16, verse 14 through 15, Director Chris quoted it in communion, says, "Forgive, lest you not be forgiven." Will it bother you guys if I turn to it? I want to show you something. You know, and while I'm turning there, Matthew 6, verse 14, you can write this down because the words of Jesus are perfect theology, as Pastor Scott always says. A smart people, right? The smart people, we talk about what are salvific issues, right? Theological concepts on soteriology, the study of salvation, right? We say, you got to believe in grace through faith, right? Yes, for a salvation issue, right? A lot of people would argue the Trinity, you got to believe in the Trinity. A lot of people would say, you got to believe Jesus is the Son of God to be saved, right, Miss Betty? Like, that's a no-brainer. Jesus says, if you are unable to forgive those who transgress against you, the Father will not forgive you. And the context of this chapter, of when he says that, is crazy because it's literally the prayer chapter. In verse 5, he says, when you pray, go away, shut your door, you know, pray to your Father in secret. When you pray to your Father in secret, the things you do in secret will be a reward in the open. The disciples come up to him, Lord, how should we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he gives us a whole chapter on how to pray and then ends it with, if you can't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. Why? Your bitterness is supposed to be conquered and uprooted in prayer. But if it sat there, if it's grown, if you've allowed these thoughts to foster and hatred to become a part of you, if it's changed your behavior, you need to be up here. Because that bitterness comes up. That bitterness comes out. Did you know there is demonic fruit? Like the fruits of the Spirit? Did you know there are fruits of demons? I know I keep saying the D word, but as a guy said a couple weeks ago, if nothing is a demon, we're on the wrong side. If you don't ever think anything's a spiritual attack, if you think you can just sit with all of this junk on the inside of you, never pray, never fast, never read your word, and be fine, the enemy is saying, bullseye on this guy. Take his destiny because he doesn't want it. Bitterness will rob you of your destiny and it'll clog the supernatural. Some of you, this is why your prayers are not getting answered, because God doesn't want to pay your bills yet. He wants to get that poison that's in you out of you. That's his goal. More than that, because you can still preach the kingdom when your bills aren't paid. You can still go to work and represent Christ when your bills aren't paid. You can still love your wife, love your kids well, come into a measure of kingdom success like you've never seen before if that light bill doesn't get paid. But you cannot do any of that if a seed of bitterness is dominating your life. Some of you are kind of mad at me while I'm talking, but I'm telling you, it's because I'm saying I'm poking your idol. And look, man, I was bitter for so long. I had people in my life that hurt me. I've had people try to get me fired. I've had people try to commit violence against me. My parents were divorced as a kid. I've been ridiculed. I was made fun of at school. I've been beaten up. I have all these different things in my heart that the Lord has dealt with. How did you deal with that? How did you deal with, you know, parents who abused you? How did you deal with someone who slapped you? How did you deal with that? Almost unconscious, sitting in a bathroom having a panic attack because one of your parents said, and nearly knocked you out on your feet. Like, how do you deal with memories like that? You pray. You say, Lord, how much this hurt. I know this is gonna kill me. If I keep looking at this person this way, if I keep harboring this hatred, it's going to kill you. It's going to hurt you. You will not get off from it. You will not get off easy. If you do not lay it down, if you do not receive the grace of Jesus in that area, look, it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. Because if somebody sowed a seed and you opened up a part of your heart to receive that, you're letting that thing grow. Those things don't go away. Because the enemy has no intention in stealing something he planted. And if you're not going to Jesus to uproot it, you're not going to anyone. Therapy is good, but it doesn't do as much for the healing of the soul as the Holy Spirit. Therapy can help. But there's some things that a pill won't cure, man. There's no spirit of depression that Jesus can't heal. As a person who was bound by depression and suicidal thoughts, I'll tell you right now, God will set you free. He will set you free. Okay, let's keep going. So I got that. Pastor David, am I okay? Okay. Gotta submit to authority. It hinders your direction. Remember in 1 John, I'm giving you a lot of Bible because I'm making a lot of statements that are very easy to argue with if you want to stay mad. I'm serious. But eventually you have to come to the point, do I want to be free or do I want to be mad? Because the Bible, the Word of God is active and moving and alive. But the Word of God, like your entitlement dies at the foot of the cross. Like when Jesus died, so did your entitlement. The Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. So chances are, listen, I know somebody might have violated you. I know somebody might have come into your family and wreaked havoc. I know a minister might have taken advantage of you, hurt you. Somebody on Facebook didn't politically agree with you. I know that these things happen and they creep in and want to destroy our life. But the Bible says we put off the new man, the old man, and we put on the new that's renewed in knowledge. So if you're choosing to keep all this stuff, you're acting on your sin nature and not your God nature. You're being like Simon, who refused to renounce his old ways where he used to manipulate people with witchcraft and magic, and now he refuses to renounce his bitterness, renounce his sin and iniquity, and then tries to manipulate in the kingdom. This is tough. Hinders your prayers from being answered. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Listen to me. If I'm here today talking to you about bitterness and you know it's there in you and you're refusing to take note of it, if you're scrolling your phone to try to be distracted, not because I see anybody, actually everybody's very attentive, I'm just saying, if you're trying to distract yourself, you might have pride in there too. Because pride is also a fruit of bitterness. And pride is also a root. Pride's a tough animal. Pride, insecurity, those are tough. But you can be free. Somebody say amen. Okay, let's go. All right, Matthew chapter 18. Okay, so that was some of the symptoms and effects of bitterness. Matthew chapter 18. When you're there, say yeah. Amen. I'm taking time this morning because this is big. This is destiny. This is your life. Verse 21. When you're there, say yeah. Okay. Verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother of sin against me? And if I forgive up to seven times, Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven. So what is this? The kingdom of God, how God desires to rule the earth, is like this. It's like what Jesus is about to say. So when he's saying the kingdom of heaven, he's not saying this is optional. He's not saying if you want. He's saying if you identify as a believer in Christ, this is your constitution. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, verse 24, one was brought to him who had owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had until the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Then the master, come on, Jesus, the master of the servant was moved with compassion. Somebody say compassion. Released him and forgave him his debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is much less. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And he said he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he would pay the debt. This is a picture of you holding somebody hostage in your mind who has wronged you. When you have bitterness, and when you are ready, brother and sister, and I hope you're ready today, to renounce, you say, I let them go from my grip. Would you like to know why? It says that Jesus, the master, had compassion on the servant. What does this mean? He was moved to emotional love at the fact that he could not pay his debt, and because he could not pay his debt, he was going to be enslaved forever. How's a slave supposed to make that much money? I can't. So compassion led the master to free the slave. The slave who was free then goes to the other servant and says, you better pay me what you owe or I'm throwing you in prison. Why is God so over demanding when it comes to forgiveness of the man who left you, of your kid who hates you, of your boss who wronged you? Why is God so over-demanding that he would make us forgive and let them off? I talked to a guy one time. He was a believer, worked with him in a restaurant again. He told me about his divorce. His wife divorced him, took everything he had. Took everything he had, down to the car. Everything was gone. When they divorced, he said, I guess you're just having it all. Walked out the front door. She took everything. He kept saying, man, I hope she dies. Just crazy stuff, right? I told him, I said, listen, brother. I said, I love you, I respect you, but you really need to forgive. He looked at me in the eyes. This 60-year-old man looked at me in the eyes. He said, I can't. I can't let her go that easy. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but if you got bitterness in your heart, that's what you're telling God. Give me your bitterness. I can't let them go that easy. God, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know the hell that they put me through. You don't understand the havoc they wreaked, the psychiatry I've had to have to repair my mental health. You don't know the anxiety. I see their face in crowds because of when they beat me when I was a kid and in a crowd. I see them when I sleep. I have nightmares. I'm filled with an anxiety because I was beaten, because I was wronged. And I have all these memories I can't get rid of. And you're telling God, you're saying, I can't let them go that easy. And Jesus looks at you and says, the way I let you go, the way you never had to pay one morsel, the way you never have to pay for your hatred, even though the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth, you've heard that murder is wrong, but assuredly not the law, but the manifestation of God's law in the flesh is telling you, if you look at your brother and you hate them, you've committed murder in your heart. And Jesus is saying, I'm letting you go if you repent. For every time you stole, for every time you posted some nonsense on Facebook, for every time you gossip, for every time you fought somebody back in the day and you physically hurt someone, you've been forgiven like that, and you refuse to let that person go from your grip, God is saying, neither will I forgive you. Why? That's so over-demanding. Because the reason God holds forgiveness so tight and so important is it is literally the institution that God used to manifest his love to the earth. Saying it doesn't matter, you don't have to earn it. In this is love. Not that we first loved him, but he sent his son to come down and be the propitiation for our sin. In this is love. And 1 John says, if anyone says that he loves his brother, father, sister, brother, wife, boss, friend, child, if anyone says he loves God and hates his brother, God is not in him. He makes God a liar. And you're like, Dalton, I'm hurt. Why would you be yelling at me? Because I care more for your eternity than I care for you sitting comfortably. I'm telling you, you've got to get free. There comes a point in time where the teacher who said wrong things about you can't define you. You got to take that power back and put it under the blood. They're never going to apologize. You're never going to see them again. They might be dead. You're like, why are you screaming? I'm hurt. I'm angry. That's why I'm screaming. Because what you do not need is someone to say, yeah, that's hard. Yeah, life's tough. Oh, yeah, God understands. No, he doesn't, because God hates demons. And when you wallow in bitterness, you cut yourself in open waters and move your body and say, sharks, come have at it. Did you know that fish in the ocean, when sharks attack fish, that it's not because of the blood in the water, it's because of the vibrations of panic? When you are wounded and you're talking about people and you're having thoughts in your mind, arguments with people who aren't there, you're sending out vibrations in the spiritual realm saying, hey, I could take some more nightmares. Hey, I could take another floozy to come my way who doesn't love Jesus to be a distraction for me in the week where I was appointed to meet the love of my life. That's what you're saying to the enemy. And you're like, oh, Dalton, you're wrong. When you've seen demons get cast out like I have, it changes your life. We did deliverance. Am I lying? We did deliverance on a girl for an hour and a half, and the demons would not leave. She's 15, and the demons wouldn't leave because she could not forgive her father. I don't care. Like, oh, that's not real. Read your Bible. Read your Bible, because once you've seen it in the Word and you start to believe it and then you see it in the natural, you're wrecked. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible says, give me a second. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil hosts of wickedness, which means people who have no bodies. Demons, spirits, you know what spirit means? It means wind with an intellect that you can't see. You don't think, okay, so how many of you, like, give me a nod. How many of you know God has a destiny for your life? Give me a nod. Do you know Satan has a destiny for your life? And if you keep your bitterness and you hear the word of the Lord and you say, nah, I'm good. I'll keep the hate. I'll keep the bitterness. You love your bitterness more than Christ. Because he died to set you free. It says in 1 John, for this reason, the Son of Man was made manifest that he might destroy the works of darkness. Bitterness, hatred, resentment is a work of darkness. Point number three, I apologize. The demonic is at work where bitterness is found. Demons will not leave a person who is being delivered if they refuse to forgive. Derek Prince, ask any deliverance minister that's ever actually done the work. They will say, you have to repent, right? You have to forgive anyone that has sinned against you, and you have to renounce. Or you don't get free. Why? Because the Bible isn't a joke. It's the constitution for the spiritual realm. It's not, like, I get it. It's poetry, it's history, it's documenting the kingdom of God, but it's also the constitution of the spiritual realm. And demons can't do what this says they can't do. And they can do what it says they can do. Why is my kid having nightmares? Is there idols in your house? Oh, don't talk to us about demons. But your kid can stay up till 6 in the morning killing people online, playing Call of Duty, playing Grand Theft Auto. Oh, my kid's having nightmares. There's a clue. My kid can't put the iPad down. You might need deliverance, and him too. Bitterness. You open the door. Let's read it, because I'm preaching, I'm saying a lot. And then I'm done, okay? Chris, maybe. Yeah. Thank you, Director Chris, appreciate you. Okay. Watch. James chapter 3, verse 13. Are y'all eating? Are y'all feeding? Listen, when you get free of bitterness, you'll immediately turn into a minister of the gospel. When you get free of bitterness, you will be a minister of the gospel. Paul says in Colossians verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 29, to this end I labor of the working of God, which first works mightily in me. What is he saying? I don't preach anything that doesn't work for me. When you get rid of bitterness, you will become a gospel preacher. So you cannot preach to people on how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life and can heal you from every psychological burden and every wound if you harbor onto yours. But if you'll get rid of that, if you'll confess, if you'll renounce, if you'll repent, you'll experience what you preach. Look, because I'm saying a lot, I want to prove it to you. Number 3 is the demonic at work. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have, look at verse 14, bitter envy. So we know bitterness is not just unforgiveness, it's jealousy. Are y'all with me? If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, so remember, not just in the natural, not just going out and drinking and partying with your friends, in your heart. Self-seeking, y'all. Oh my gosh. If we could expose the devil and self-seeking in the church. If we could expose the devil, like, God is supposed to promote us. We're not supposed to be sitting here jockeying for position. If there is bitter envy, if you're bitter, jealous, after a sibling or after a friend, check your heart. Self-seeking, you got to be better than anybody. Everybody, you got to look better. You got to act better. You got to hustle. You got to grind culture, right? Bunch of insecure people. Got to grind to get your own. Hey, when you get your own, you'll be able to keep it when you realize you have him before you get it all. Are you with me? I'm not against the hustle and grind. Hey, man, get it tattooed on your arm if that's what you feel like. But I'm just saying, if you need the hustle and grind to feel qualified, you got self-seeking. And all the enemy has to do to get you down is to rip the carpet out from under your pyramid scheme. Rip the carpet out from under you starting to try your own business. Rip the carpet out from under you being a great man and woman of God, because it came out of the heart of self-seeking and not from the place of hearing. So if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That word demonic in the Greek literally means of demons. It does not mean like kind of bad, like kind of dark, little evil. It means you're involved with demons. Not all your thoughts are yours. Okay? Not all your thoughts are yours. If you have bitterness, hatred, envy, and jealousy in your heart, you're flagging down darkness. Why can't I get free of pornography? Why do I hate people? Why do I gossip and talk about people and judge people before I even know them? Why do I isolate myself from people who love me and care about me? Why do I think the best? Why am I so cynical all the time? Where's this dark humor coming from? Bitterness. And now your environment is starting to reflect what's going on in here. And destruction comes in. The Bible says that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Have you given him legal right to destroy your life? But the wisdom that is from above, first pure, then peaceable. You guys can go ahead whenever. Gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Oh, hey, this morning it is really time to make peace for some of you. You got to bury that weed that's grown in you. You got to bury that hurt in your heart today. Harboring bitterness, resentment, hurt, hate, and pride, expecting not to be harshly affected, is like rolling around in tall grass expecting not to get poison ivy. If you harbor hate and bitterness, no matter what somebody did to you, they abused you as a kid, they took advantage of you, fill in the blank, they divorced you, they left you, they hurt you physically, mentally, emotionally, they manipulated you. You harboring that stuff is like you drinking poison and expecting them to die. It's like you rolling around in tall grass, expecting not to get poison ivy. What do I mean by that? You get surprised when all of this chaos is breaking out around you. Why you can't handle anything anymore. Why your emotions are always, check for bitterness. Check for bitterness. Because out of a bitter heart come all of these things. Hatred, envy, manipulation. Every person who ever wronged you is dealing with deep, deep hurt. Lastly, Jesus is the deliverer. Some of you today, I'm going to go out on a very crazy whim. Well, some of you are going to think I'm crazy. I've seen it, so I don't believe that I am crazy. But some of you in here have been dealing with sickness, nightmares. Some of you in here, you've been dealing with social anxiety, chronic stages of depression, not because of anything else, but because there's a root in bitterness. And it gives the realm of darkness legal right to do what they want with you, to hurt you, to keep you down. But Jesus Christ is the deliverer. If you have harbored that stuff, stand with me. Stand with me, just everybody in the room. Stand with me. If you have harbored that stuff, this message is for you. And I want you to know that there is freedom in the house. There is freedom from bondage and iniquity, because look at me. Look at me. Bitterness is bondage. It's not just I hate, not just I'm angry or I'm mad. It's bondage. And it opens you up for addiction. Some of you are addicted because you're hurt. You're addicted because you're hurt. And you need healing in your heart. Not more numbing medication or numbing alcohol. Or numbing it with friends. That was my vice. Partying and friends. Let me hang out with friends. Because it ignores the fact It numbs the fact when I go home, I want to die because I'm bitter. I'm resentful and I'm angry. Some of you are angry at God because you thought life would be different. You thought life would be different. You thought having kids would be different. You thought your education would be different. You thought your employment would be different, and it's not. And you're harboring it against God, and it's caused you to stop praying. I'm here to tell you, it's bondage. It's bondage, and it breaks under the power of Jesus. There's tears, there's weeping, there's mourning, but there's healing. There's healing. There's healing. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, it says, "For he bore our sicknesses, carried our sorrow." If you're in here and sorrowful because somebody has wounded you, he carried our own sorrow. The Bible says he was smitten by God and afflicted, and we esteemed him stricken. Surely he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our repetitive sin, our pornography, our gossip. The chastisement, the punishment, the torture for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The Bible says on the cross, Jesus made a public spectacle of all principality and power. The Bible says that there is an exceeding working of God's mighty power that works in us who believe. But you can't quench that work. You can't quench that work, or else that power stops working in you. And it said he worked, and he proved that he worked, this mighty power, when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father and gave him a name above every name that is named in the realm of darkness, in the realm of this earth, and made him to be head over all things, even the church, to him who fills all in all. Any place where you are bitter, Jesus will deliver you. He's delivered me of depression. He's delivered me of hatred. He's delivered me of suicidal thoughts. He's delivered me of pornography. He's delivered me of all of it. And he will deliver you. And look at me, brother. Look at me, sister. If you hate someone, if you're in bondage, if you are bitter against that girl, that guy, that parent, that boss, you are not free. You are bound. And you need to repent, renounce, receive grace, and forgive that person, or you will not be free. And that darkness has no legal right to lift. It does not have to lift if you do not forgive, if you do not receive his grace. His grace was not for our songs alone. His grace was our freedom. For freedom it is that Christ died. For freedom. He wants you to be free. Imagine being free, unashamed, no darkness hiding in the closet. Someone could search your phone history and find nothing. Imagine being free. Imagine no ought against anyone, no hurt against anyone, no resentment against anyone. That's what he's offering you today. Freedom by his blood. Freedom by his blood. I'm going to do an altar call, and I want to pray with you. Prayer team, hang back unless I call on you. Some of you, you don't need a man to touch you. You need Holy Ghost. You need, oh, come on, man. You need Holy Ghost to say, hey, you hate this guy. You hate this girl. It ain't gossip. You gossip into your girlfriends. It's hatred, and it needs to die. It needs to die.